What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio, a send-up of the medium. In other words, it's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We will have Korean War veteran Lloyd Bonafide with us later. Also, Craig Hardy's news from a guy that overhears stuff in a bar. And coming up tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley. Dean Wheeler joins us from the Northern California Alternative Health Center. And in recent news stories, certainly interviews that have been conducted with you, Mr. Wheeler, you were talking about a world sort of spiraling out of control in terms of our obsession with material things. And you've been very specific that the Bush administration and its what you call its concentration on materialism has had a hand in this.
Well, let me first of all, Phil, thank you for having me on your program. It's a great pleasure to be talking to have the opportunity to talk to so many people about this.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
Thank you. But I have taught for the last 26 years yoga, hatha yoga, and also meditation classes in our alternative health centers. We leave our meditation center, we head out into the world, and we're suddenly assaulted by this sort of lack of harmony, which is what I think I'm trying to say. The mention of George Bush.
Well, what do you mean by the Bush administration's compulsion with material things?
I can give you an example, Phil. I teach two classes a day at the College of San Francisco, and then I return to our health center and do some of our yoga classes. And on a recent trip into the city, I was traveling over the bridge at the time, and in my rearview mirror was this enormous truck, this enormous machine carrying a large piece of equipment on a trailer. And I determined that I wasn't going to let this individual cause me to lose my centeredness and my balance, because I'd achieved a very good state of bliss, I guess you could call it, from our morning classes. And it's something I think everyone should strive for. But it is impossible, almost, or near impossible, to do that in this world. And by the time we had reached the end of the bridge, this individual in this truck had honked at me to get out of the way a number of times.
Where were you when he honked?
I don't recall, but I was not doing whatever it was that he wanted. And the fact the Bush administration encourages this kind of commerce, these oversized polluting vehicles, these enormous trucks that can cause serious injury, and I really tried not to let that individual, with his impatience, disturb my balance. And yet so overwhelming, Phil, is the Bush administration's desire to replace spiritualism with materialism, that when we reached the end of the bridge and we had approached the toll booth...
I got to interrupt you just here for a second, Dean. The Bush administration didn't invent trucking and commerce, and certainly one of the first jobs of any governing body of any society is to ensure that its people have the material goods that they need.
The first job of any governing body is to ensure that the people are happy, and that begins with a inner peace that I have worked at teaching other people for some 26 years. And to get back to my story, we reached the end of the bridge and we had approached the toll booth. I found myself getting out of the car, and we had put up a sweat lodge at our center earlier in the morning, and I had a mallet in the back seat of the car. I went out to the front of the truck, and I was driven to an act of violence. And that is the point I am trying to make, that even though...
What did you do?
I'm sorry, Phil?
What did you do? You said you were driven to an act of violence?
Well, I took this mallet. I had found myself breaking two of the headlights on this truck, breaking one of the other headlights on the side of the truck.
Oh, man.
And the man that was doing all of this honking, the driver got out of his truck. I was assaulted by him.
Did he shove you? I read where he shoved you.
He shoved me to the ground, and I told the police officer that I had been teaching at the Marin Alternative Institute and was on my way over to the College of San Francisco, and this truck driver, who was being very aggressive and was trying to anger me, and I told the public defender the same thing, and I have a wonderful public defender, a man who really understands the idea of living in harmony in what we call this bliss of being. His name is Danny Cottrell, and I've got a court date for December. Of course, at that time, I'm going to explain to the court that the truck driver and his aggressive transport of all of these materials under the auspices of the Bush administration's Commerce Department, the spirituality that I had when I first got on the bridge, he raped out of me. And
boy, there's a tough word to use.
Well, it's absolutely true. I had this spiritual, this being of bliss, raped completely out of me by this truck driver and his horn honking. And I'm trying to live a centered and balanced life.
All right, and your court date's when?
It's in early December.
Okay, I'm talking with Dean Wheeler on the Phil Hendry Show. He's with the Northern California Alternative Healing Center about an incident a couple of weeks ago after leaving a meditation class that he teaches, being forced into, his words, an act of violence by a truck driver out on the Golden Gate Bridge. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Now, we don't have a whole lot of information here, but I want to ask you something. You are not taking responsibility for this act of violence, correct?
Well, you know, that's a loaded question. It really is. You asked me to take responsibility for something that... Do you blame a woman who has suffered physical rape or torture from retaliating against her attackers? Is she supposed to take responsibility for that? No. She was forced into it. And the same goes, Phil, in the world that I live in, where we have tried to create physical sutras with our meditation center. We have tried to create a physical health and healing centers with our yoga. And then to leave our institute and to go into the city, only to be assaulted by these enterprises that are fully encouraged by the Bush administration and the right wing.
But wait, I'm not going to interrupt you here, man. There were truck drivers during the Clinton administration, you know.
I certainly understand that, Phil. What I'm trying to tell you is that during the Clinton administration and other perhaps more progressive leadership in our country, truck drivers and those who were involved in the more crass commerce, and I don't mean crass in an insulting way, but in the more physical commerce of our society, were not quite as aggressive. The Bush administration has given them...
They didn't honk their horns then? They didn't...
Well, we knew we had a benevolent leader. I'm not here to discuss the Clinton administration. I'm simply here to say that after 31 years of practicing meditation and yoga, and then I get out into the world and I am forced into feeling as if I want to scar another human being, taking a hammer or a mallet or the client of a hammer to someone's face, is the direct result of this very materialistic world we live in. And we try to teach at our alternative healing centers that meditation and inner bliss is the...
Can I interrupt one more? I hate to interrupt you.
Please go ahead.
I got to tell you something, Dean. A lot of this stuff sounds like a lot of hippie stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, I lived through this period of the 60s.
Well, if trying to live your life as a better human being is a lot of hippie stuff, then I plead guilty.
Well, I mean, you know, inner bliss.
No, it is simply, Phil, a state of consciousness which we can all achieve, a centeredness and a harmony with our bodies and our minds as well as our spirits. But it is impossible... when the American electorate put into office a man whose sole purpose is to rape away from me and others of my kind the inner centeredness that we have by encouraging these truck drivers and crass purveyors of commerce to rape my bliss, and as a result,
hey, listen to this stuff you're saying, rape my bliss. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Well. This is simply the language of spirituality, and you know, I can use something else to upset my calm, if you'd like. But I really do feel as if I was violated, and I feel as if I was violated against my will by this truck driver who...
Now, I want to ask you something. You don't remember where you were on the bridge?
I do remember, yes. I was on my way to the Embarcadero.
Which means you were over in the far left-hand lane, which is the fast lane of traffic.
I don't know.
And if the trucker is in that lane and he's trying to make some headway and you're in his way, he's going to honk.
That may be, but we're also coming up on a toll booth, and I was getting ready to retrieve some change from my pocket so I could pay the toll getting off the bridge. This truck driver And I was in a wonderful state. We had had three early morning sessions. We did a Lamaze class with some of our pregnant students. We also had a wonderful a class for our seniors, and we had a meditation class at 10. By the time I got across the Golden Gate Bridge, I was in a state of good centeredness, and the honking of that horn was like a forcible taking in a jail cell. And they had,
see, that's what I mean. You're going from blissed out to,
and that was, but that's what happened to me. I was literally raped away from the bliss and the being of bliss that I had by this truck driver. And so I strongly encourage people listening to me right now to consider that we are up against a very materialistic society in which these individuals out on the freeways and the highways are attempting to destroy and traumatize the peace that we're trying to develop for ourselves.
All right, Dean Wheeler is with us, and it may sound like a lot of hippie stuff, but Dean is with the Northern California Alternative Health Center. He also teaches yoga and meditation. He apparently was feeling very much at peace and a great deal of harmony when he got out of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco recently, was honked at by a truck driver, and was arrested for taking a hammer of some kind to the truck driver's headlights. He damaged the man's truck. There was a physical confrontation. Dean says it's impossible under the Bush administration for this kind of spiritual centeredness to exist as long as Bush supports this kind of crass commerce like trucking, traffic, etc. 1-800-449, interesting point of view, although I must say, I tried to make the point to him, there have been trucks under, you know, all kinds of other administrations. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, to talk to Dean Wheeler as he discusses the impossibility of having a spiritual peace and centeredness and drive in the traffic and the world we live in. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That's what we're trying to say.
I understand that. Dean Wheeler joins me from the Northern California Healing Institute. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. You know, and somebody mentioned this to me on the phone just a moment ago. Are you aware of this fight they had in the NBA on Friday night?
You know, I heard something about it, Phil. Someone said that there was a brawl of some kind. That's a very good example of what I'm talking about, where these basketball players are so out of control with their egos that they feel they can go up into the grandstands of a game and beat up people who are just sitting there enjoying the game. And I would say that,
well, that's not exactly what happened.
Well, but the point that I'm trying to make is these material-minded people, truck drivers are an example, and I know they work for a living, but they're hauling the gross substances of a material society. I was in the midst of a calming centeredness that had been achieved through hours of meditation, through our morning sessions. Suddenly, I'm out in the middle of a beautiful day on the Golden Gate Bridge, and a man driving a vehicle, a large truck, blasts this air horn and completely violated and traumatized my the being of bliss, as we say, or the regalia, and pulled it from me as one would pull away the wings from a butterfly, and I was left raped. And
boy, that's a rough word to use. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know why you say that.
Because I think of that in terms of violence about against women.
But the women are not the only ones who are forcibly taken, in a manner that intrudes innocence, and that's what I'm trying to say. And it's really the Bush administration.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is a truck driver, Shauna.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on with Dean Wheeler.
Yeah, I just wanted to let this guy know that if there's anything he owns, lives in, does, eats, drinks, everything gets moved by a truck. And if I was that truck driver, I would have gotten mad at him and called the cops, too, for hitting my truck. I mean, that's my personal property. You can't hit my personal property without being...
Well, Shauna, I appreciate this. This is Dean. Do you meditate at all?
Yes, I do. Every day.
Okay, and so you know the calming effects. And you sound... Now, you're a female, correct?
Yes, and I'm a truck driver.
Isn't that unusual in your line of work? For a woman to operate a vehicle such as that?
I have an 18-wheeler that I'm sitting in right now on my way home.
And could I ask your sexual orientation?
Well, that's
I am heterosexual.
A little personal.
All right.
That has nothing to do with being a truck driver.
Isn't that unusual, though, for a heterosexual female?
Oh, God, no.
There are husband and wife teams.
Out here.
Husband and wives drive trucks.
Well, exactly.
I'm asking the lady because she actually has practical experience, Phil. So you are heterosexual?
Very much so.
All right. The day I've been trying for 26 years, Shauna, to keep a lid on my temper. And I've done it through meditation and through Hatha Yoga and through the various sutras. Suddenly, I had that violated from me on the bridge that day.
But you were saying you're in the left-hand lane.
Yes.
That's
The
fast lane in any state, city, country, anywhere. I drive across North America.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
You name the place.
What's that got to do with anything?
It's the law of the road.
That's right. It's the law of the road.
Well,
you're in the left lane. You better be going the speed limit, you're coming up to a toll booth or not.
It sounds like the law of the road sounds so jungle-like. I'm talking about civilized people.
Truck drivers are very civilized, sir. Very civilized. I mean, you come out on the road and you talk to a truck driver, and he is the kindest person you've ever met.
Would you do me a favor? When you talk to your fellow truckers, would you tell them that Dean Wheeler, who's a man that you talked to in California, is still suffering pain from the raping he took at their hands?
Rape? I'm sorry. That word is just so wrong because...
Yeah, it sounds...
He air horned me, and I was in a bliss state, as I said.
That's
right.
There's nothing wrong with that, but that word is wrong.
Yeah, the word rape, we want to say air horned, that's fine, but be that as it may, this man was acting as a result of probably some traffic.
But this is the Bush administration. Sean is out there because of George Bush pushing
his
materialism.
I'm out here for me. I'm out here for me. I'm out here to move your merchandise.
Pushing his materialism. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's economy, sir. That's the economy.
Okay, Shauna, thank you for your call. We're going to move on. 1-800-449-8686. It is true that we have to have goods and services moved by trucks. You agree with that?
I certainly agree with it, Phil. But the manner in which they are moved, the truck drivers behaving in any way, shape, and form without any degree of consideration for the spiritual needs of the people around them. And
I dare say it's the last thing on a trucker's mind, the spiritual needs.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. They need to start thinking about it, or they're going to lose more headlights. And I don't want to threaten anyone, but I was in a wonderful place until I had an air horn, until he air horned me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Travis, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Okay, all I got to say is this guy is totally unreal. You want to talk about raping a sense of well-being? I come home from work every single night, and I listen to this show as I'm driving home. Now I turn it on, and I'm listening to some guy say the Bush administration is the reason that truck drivers are the way they are on the road. Let me put it this way. Anything to eat, like she said, comes from them.
I understand that, but the way that they deliver it,
I'll finish talking, and then you can go ahead.
Well, that's fine, but I don't want them delivered in a way that violates me.
All right, hold on, Travis, for a minute, and you two, we'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. Are truck drivers delivering goods, services, and commerce in this country in a manner that violates the spiritual well-being, the calm of people out on the highways? This man bashed in a trucker's headlights. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite.
Go ahead. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
McNeil Transit. I don't want to...
Back with me is Dean Wheeler of the Northern California Alternative Healing Center. And you say that you are soaking right now in some kind of a sauna?
Yeah, Phil, this is a... It's just all it is, really, is just some healing bath salts and some meditation beads that are sort of... I guess you should say it's a purification process. The anger that was provoked in me by... and I wanted to mention that McNeil Trucking is the company that I am holding responsible for this. A pure violation, and yet I'm the one criminally charged. My public defender is going to bring to the judge's attention that this truck driver, who does work and is licensed by a Department of Commerce that does, that is under the executive leadership of George Bush, took my peace and tranquility and dirtied it. I was dirtied that day, and I resent it.
All right. Okay, but I don't hear anything in your comment. Like you took a hammer to the guy's truck. You smashed headlights.
And I hadn't done anything like that in 5 years. I've done an awful lot to control what at times has been a violent temper. If I wasn't such a man who loves peace, I probably would have taken it right out on that guy's rear end, if you know what I'm talking about. But I'm trying very much to be peaceful.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Gene, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Yeah, Dean Weiner. I used to be a truck driver, and I don't know why you would want to hold up some man with your whining self in the fast lane. All that man is trying to do is make a living, and you out there whining and whimping about you feel good.
Well,
now, if you would have got out and knocked the headlights out of my truck when I was driving, I would have talked to you meaning the rape. I would have bent you over the fender of that truck and give you some real bliss. Now, how you like that, Dean Weiner?
Well, Gene, for a former professional wrestler, you're quite a comic.
Yeah.
I would simply say, Gene, that I will meditate for you. And,
meditate for me.
But I can tell you this, in another time...
I would have had you feeling real good, man.
Well, Gene, in another time, in another place, before I meditated, you and I would have had a real good dust-up.
Huh?
And I think that you'd be the one flying into San Francisco Bay, not me.
Yeah. Man, I pull your head off and
You sound like such a faggot to me.
All right, let's watch it, okay?
I don't like your dirty name.
He sounds like one of those Deliverance guys. One of those guys in Deliverance that likes to take a guy out behind.
All right, look.
Yeah.
Well, he does. He's one of these Southern guys. Aren't you from the South?
I'd hit you in the butt with your axle grease and straighten you out real good.
All right, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Wheeler?
What?
You still there?
Yeah.
Here is Michael. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's this way. It's his own fault. Now, I don't know what your problem is, guy, but...
I don't have a problem. I had bliss.
Wait a minute. Let me make my point first.
All right.
All right? You are in the left lane. The far left lane, which is the fast lane. You slow down. You're impeding traffic.
Well, he doesn't have to air horn me.
He's harnessed you because you're impeding traffic. What right does that give you to go busting up a man's truck?
I had such a marvelous place of blissed out.
Let me finish my point. Everything you own in your house, your refrigerator, your car, your toaster, your microwave, everything is brought by truck. This man may have owned that truck. He spent $30,000 to $150,000 for that vehicle. Not only does he own the vehicle, he also is going to have to pay to replace those headlights that you broke out of the truck.
First of all, the things we have in our meditation center.
He gets a fine by the government.
All right, hold on. What were you going to say, Dean?
The things we have in our meditation center are not trucked in. We have them helicoptered in. So there's no. We don't use trucks.
Wait a minute. What do you own in your house?
Do you own
a refrigerator in your house?
Yes, I do, but it was helicopter.
Do you have a TV in your house?
Yes.
Have a toaster in your house?
Yes. All brought in by helicopter.
Do you have a car in your driveway?
Yes.
Every piece of that was brought by a truck.
No, these were all chartered in.
Don't give me that.
What do you mean it was...
How does it get from the plant to the dealer?
it from the plant to the
by a truck.
No, we make sure that they're all helicoptered.
Everything you own?
So full of it. You are so liberal, so left-wing,
what?
So
because
feel good, it's that funny.
Sir, just because I make sure that everything I own is either choppered or brought in by sled doesn't mean...
What do you mean brought in by sled?
Wait a minute. Brought in by sled in California? Who are you trying to kid?
No. I'm talking about an area...
You are so full of it, you don't even know yourself top from bottom.
Sir, I make sure that everything we own is either brought in by chopper, dog sled, or is brought in...
How? What do you mean dog sled?
If it's in an area where there's snow. But I will not allow anything in my home that was brought in by a trucker who air horns someone and leaves them bleeding.
Oh, God, come on. You're talking about a horn, buddy. You're not talking about somebody who physically comes and assaults you. You physically assaulted that guy's truck. You should have the book thrown at you.
Well, I
didn't, that's all I have to say.
All right, fine, but you call me a liar, even though I make sure that everything I own
wait a minute.
Is brought in by cattle boat.
Every grocery you have in your house.
You have
groceries in your house.
Most of it's brought in.
How are you going to guarantee that groceries come in by chopper or by dog sled? You're full of it. Anything that comes into this country is brought in by a truck.
No, sir. No, it's brought in by boat. I live on the Columbia River.
It gets picked up by a truck to be brought from where the boat drops it off to the store.
Michael, we live on the Sacramento River. I make sure that only steamship or hot air balloon brings the things to us.
Well, there goes your dog sled right there, buddy.
Steamship and hot air balloon?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Now, wait a minute. First it was helicopter, now it's steamship, then it was dog sled, now it's hot air balloon.
Well,
what is it, buddy?
I'm telling you that any mean of transport other than truck, we use steamship.
You are so full of it, you do nothing but lie.
We use paddle boats.
You do the liberal left-wing, as far left as you can go. You are
right.
Such a tree-hugging liberal, it's not funny.
Get my wife over here. Mary?
Yes.
How did we get our groceries last time?
Balloon.
Yeah, my wife just said hot air balloon.
How did it get to the store that you picked it up from?
Honey, how did it get to the store that we picked it up from?
Paddle boat,
she just said.
What do you mean paddle boat? Where did you buy it from?
Paddle boat. Wait a minute. Now you got it. Wait a minute. Let's go through the litany. There was steamship. There was hot air balloon. There was dog sled. There's...
paddle boat.
A hot air balloon. Now there's a paddle boat.
And also a hot air balloon.
Wait a minute. How about horse and buggy? You going to add that into the mix, too?
Now, don't be ridiculous.
Wait a minute. You're asking me to believe that everything you get brought into you is brought in by something other than a truck.
Yes, sir.
You're telling me that you get a dog sled in the San Francisco Bay Area.
No, sir. When we are getting things from the snowbound regions, especially when I enjoy the salmons and the lutefisk from Canada, we make sure
that comes on a truck.
No, the salmon that we get
to the distribution center and gets brought on a truck down to the store.
Yeah, no, but the salmon we get is brought by way of dog sled from British Columbia to San Francisco.
You must be one really rich guy.
What do you mean dog sled to San Francisco? It ain't enough snow down there.
It doesn't have to be snowing to use a sled.
Wait a minute.
We had our brand new Honda Hybrid.
This guy's got so many lies.
You know something? Well, you can call me a liar, but we had a brand new Honda Hybrid brought in by four canoes strapped together with homemade twine.
It isn't funny.
Yeah, this guy's full of crap. He said he had a new Honda brought in by canoes strapped together with twine.
That's correct.
Yeah, well, why don't you just admit that you're lying, and it's just... You lost
you know
control.
What? You know
and
what, Michael?
Take responsibility.
Michael, I'm sure.
Take responsibility.
I'm soaking in a tub. I don't want to hear you.
All I want you to do is take responsibility.
All right. Well, Michael, thank you for your call. He will. Soaking in a tub, huh?
I'm trying to get all of the bad karma. It's all over me. I've got a... Honey, could you get me a cloth? I got to wash right up in the crack there. There's some bad karma up there.
Yeah, uh-huh. Bad karma up there. Everything I own's brought in by paddle boat and hot air balloon.
Well, it is.
Dean Wheeler on the Phil Henry Show. The guy got air horned on the San Francisco Bridge, and so he's all messed up, man. His bliss is all, his buzz got harshed. And he wants McNeil Trucking to take the blame.
We live in a very materialistic time, ladies and gentlemen, a time where a guy meditates 1 minute, and the next minute he's out there smashing a guy's headlights with a ball-peen hammer or whatever it was. 1-800-449-8686. A couple of hours from now, we'll have Lloyd Bonafide on, the Korean War veteran, to talk about Dan Rather. And he's got a shocker for us coming up on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio speed trap. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, you all just heard Dean Wheeler talking about how he was air-horned on the Golden Gate Bridge and how it harshed his buzz, how it raped his bliss right out of him. It's time now for Rate the Bit. Yes, Rate the Bit, brought to you by Kellogg's and your makers of Kellogg's Corn Flakes. Rate the Bit, 1-800-449-8686. How do you rate that bit on a scale of 1 to 10? Bud, go ahead. You lead it off, then we'll take some phone calls, too.
What, the bit you did with Dean Wheeler?
Yes.
It was a 5.
Why a 5?
Because the second and last call sucked.
Well, so what, man? Just one stinking call?
It's five and a half.
Give it either a 5 or a 6, will you? Just a 5 or a 6.
5.
Thanks. Okay, David G. Hall of Vice President Syndication, how do you rate the bit?
It was a 1.
Why a 1?
I don't like your sense of humor.
You don't like my sense of humor, huh? Why'd you hire me?
Well, other people seem to like it. But I don't get it. I don't get anything you do, so I thought it sucked.
So Bud gives it a 5, you give it a 1.
Yeah, it sucked.
Have I ever done anything that you like?
No.
All right, let me go rate the bit here. 1-800, we had a 7 from Jim, is that right? Jim was right. You know what, just ask people what they're rating it and put it up on the screen. I don't need to hear them. Coming up, we got Bob Green, a flashback from our show yesterday where Bob was on talking about how a Playboy bunny has made all the difference in his life. Okay, Jay rated it a 6. These guys got to be hardcore fans, hardcore long-time listeners. All right, rate the bit, 1-800-449-8686. Who's the next one? Just go ahead and give it to me over the phone. Give it to me over the microphone, Chris. Don't even type it in. Ask him what it is. I can't hear you, dude. Get on the air and tell me.
It says 7.
Who?
Ken.
Okay, Jay says a 6. Ken says a 7. Oh, Chris has got laryngitis. No wonder the poor guy can't talk.
What's your name?
What did he say? What's my name? Oh, he's talking to a caller. This ain't such a good idea, Chris. There's too much lag time between the time I get the vote and the time you type it on the screen. A 7? A 6? I would have put it up around an 8. Here's a guy, a 6.5. All of these people are hardcore listeners, obviously. Oh, well. Rate the Bit, presented by Kellogg's. All right, time now for our flashback. This was Bob Green on The Phil Hendry Show, and Bob was talking about a Playboy bunny making all the difference in his life. Sure, he's not paying his child support, but what difference does it make? It's an uncommon opportunity for a guy to be dating a Playboy bunny.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Oh, I tell you, this man is absolutely out of his mind. Playboy has not been in style for 10 years.
I'm not talking about going to the club. I'm talking about being with a Playboy bunny.
Oh, sir, you must be a real loser.
It's an opportunity.
You have to be a loser.
A loser?
If you think going with a Playboy bunny is a big thing to leave your wife and your children and let your children go without food and everything else for a Playboy bunny,
my kids are not going out without food. And
are you out of your mind?
Ma'am, if I may, you speak like a typical woman. I mean, Playboy bunny represents...
Woman. What is your Playboy bunny a typical woman?
A Playboy bunny represents a cachet for men that is very important for their business. Are you?
Sir,
you are
out of your mind, and you really need to get a grip.
Well, ma'am,
I feel bad for your wife and your children.
Well, I feel bad for you.
I hope that your children have to listen to this conversation that you put on the radio and aired all of your dirty laundry.
What dirty laundry?
I'm
not airing any dirt. Look, if a man threw you over for a Playboy bunny, then I understand your bitterness. But I
you're
would
having
say,
an affair. A Playboy bunny, dear, is not anything.
Well, you're
maybe
speaking
a
as a
pretty woman, and that's all. And
why don't you ask a man instead of you know? Because I don't
ask
think...
men, sir. I know about.
Well,
Playboy
I would. I'm a man, and I don't have to.
20 years ago, they had one in this city.
Well, ma'am, are you? Let's ask you this: are you a Playboy bunny?
Oh heavens, no.
Well, then it sounds like a little bit of jealousy mixed in with some anger.
Jealousy. Sir, I don't think a Playboy bunny sets the standard for American women. I really don't.
Yes, but you have to ask
any man who doesn't support their children is
right.
An infidel.
I support my children.
But you admit...
And I hope you know what an infidel is.
Your voice tells me you're not only jealous, but you're a heavy smoker.
A heavy what, sir?
Smoker. Is that correct?
Sandy
doesn't
smoke.
Sandy doesn't smoke.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, good
Sandy
for Sandy.
Sandy is a yoga teacher.
Maybe she can save enough money to pay your children's child support.
That's not her job. That's my job. And
well,
I do
well, maybe you better pay it and quit paying so much attention to yourself and your baldness and everything else you've had going on for
I
years.
I think it's dirty pool you bringing up the fact that I'm bald.
Well, you
I got
brought
a 15,
it up. I didn't.
Well,
you opened the door. I didn't.
I got a $15,000 hair system. Thank you very much.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Don't you ever forget it, man. Bob Green, he ain't got no toupee, baby. He's got a hair system. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will continue next hour. We've got an Art Bell bit for you. We also have news that a guy gets from a bar with Craig Hardy, or bits news that he overheard in a bar. So I forget what we called a bit, but we changed the name of it from week to week. And we also have Lloyd Bonafide on to talk about a... he's traveling all the way to Washington, D.C. with a very, very serious message for Congress. Can't wait to hear what that's all about. Bobby Dooley will join us at 9 to tell us what she's got coming up on the show tomorrow night. Not that she knows. So that was funny. The bit with Dean Wheeler, I thought was a little bit... people gave it a 6.5, a 7. Then when I started grousing about it, somebody called in with an 8 and a 9. Yeah, forget it. You can't get any real votes on the phone. You don't know whether people like stuff or you don't. I will tell you this. Now, I know that I have talked a lot of what they call smack about Rush Limbaugh. But I saw him at this wedding the other day, and he sat down, and he said to me, now, Henry, you know, I've heard a lot about your show. I hear it's very good, and I listen to it. I think it's good, and a lot of people I know like it. And it's really, it transcends what a lot of people do. I said, thank you very much, because sometimes it's really frustrating. You know, we have affiliates that don't get it, etc. He said, you stay with it. Talent will out.
What's that mean?
It means that if you got talent, and he believes that I do, then it will, you know, I'll succeed.
Limbaugh told you that?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Well, he did. I was at Brian Glick's wedding, and he sat down and he said that to me.
We're going to have to get a tape recording.
Yeah, do you got any tape on it?
No, I don't have any tape on it.
Why not?
What, am I supposed to sit there rolling tape? Hey, would you mind saying that in a tape recorder, Rush?
It would help, so that you, know.
So he wouldn't think you're a liar.
Yeah, so he wouldn't think you're a lying sack of crap.
Well, he did, man. I guess you're just going to have to think ill of me.
Well, don't cry.
I'm not going to cry. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Hoo-hoo.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We got a little breaking news. Bob Bacon in the Phil Henry Show helicopter with some news from the Department of Agriculture, Bob.
That's correct, Phil. The Department of Agriculture right now in Washington, D.C., they have released a statement saying that the one cow they thought had mad cow disease, they now say does not have it. Let me say that again. The mad cow that they thought had mad cow disease does not have it. But it did have a spot on its hide in the shape of the Virgin Mary, so they went ahead and shot it anyway. And
it had a Virgin Mary?
Yes, it had a Virgin Mary on its hide, but they shot it.
What was the reason given?
The USDA representative that I spoke with said, and I quote, "That'll make one hell of a good-looking purse." Here's Bob Bakey reporting. Back to you.
What, are you joking?
Back to you.
Is he kidding, bud?
I know, it sounds like real.
It'll make one hell of a good-looking purse.
Okay. Well, at least, you know, when they see the Virgin Mary, not everybody's trying to auction it on eBay. Virgin Mary got $38,000 on a ham sandwich. You got to be putting me on. And I bet you if you or I looked at it, it wouldn't look like the Virgin Mary at all. It looked like a spot of mustard or something. Did you hear that? Did you know about that? There was a ham sandwich or a cabbage sandwich. What was it, a corned beef sandwich, Chris?
It's a grilled cheese.
A grilled cheese sandwich that had the shape of the Virgin Mary on it, and some schmuck paid $28,000 for it? He won't be able to unload that for the price of an original grilled cheese sandwich in about a year. How much do you think they get for grilled cheese sandwiches these days? What, $3? He won't even be able to unload that thing for a buck and a half. Because it'll be seen by future generations, oh yeah, that was the time when there was that whole Virgin Mary hysteria. Seriously, like in 100 years, the history teachers will all be saying, now children, turn your books to page 4. We study now early 21st century American culture. As you know, when we last left off, we were talking about the Virgin Mary hysteria that was between the years 1900 or 1990 and 2010. At that time, Mr. Walker. Yes, Billy. What do you mean by Virgin Mary hysteria?
Well, there was a time when people thought they saw the Virgin Mary.
Well, who was she?
She was a deity of the Christian Church, supposedly the mother of Jesus. Certain people thought that she had an immaculate conception, that is, was not impregnated by any mortal man, and gave birth to this man Jesus.
Well, who was he?
Well, he was a man... Will you quit asking all the questions and let me teach this class? Now then. They sold a grilled cheese sandwich.
What's that?
Well, it was two pieces of bread. Will you shh? Smart kid. The grilled cheese sandwich is 10 years old? Oh, well, gee. Either you throw it away or you pay $28,000 for that. It's what I say about a 10-year-old grilled cheese sandwich. Either that thing gets tossed into the dumpster or it's worth $28,000. Take your pick. You know what I think? I think that was one hell of a salesman. I think whoever pitched that... should be. Donald Trump doesn't need to do The Apprentice. Go find the guy that sold that cheese sandwich for 28 cheese. That's the guy that ought to be running your business, Mr. Trump. Tonight on The Apprentice, we search for the world's greatest salespeople. Here's a guy that sold a grilled cheese sandwich for $28,000 and it was 10 years old. Buddy, you're hired. Oh my God! Next week, we'll look for another president of our corporation. Well, here's a guy that's raised $500,000 in 6 hours. And what do?
I'm a preacher.
You're hired, too. All right, in other news, as you know, the big brawl in Detroit on Friday night continues to reverberate, if you will. It continues to ripple through the windmills of your mind, lo, these many days later. I have been seeing, as you probably have, the principals on television, most of them being the civilians, the citizens, the so-called fans that were involved. One of them, a real meathead-looking jackass, who's sitting there with his attorney and his big meathead, saying, well, he was trying to break up the fight, and he didn't mean this, and he didn't mean that. Let me tell you, everything that I've seen of this fight, I see two fans on the floor. My question is this, what are they doing down there? Now, one of them... I have to hand it, and I think it was the guy that I saw on television. He's got a real head like a can of oil, big square head, big dumb looking clown, and he took a full on right cross from one of the Pacers. I forget who it was. It might have been that Artest guy. I mean, he took just a full punch, and it dropped him, but he got right back up. Then another fan. Who I don't know who that guy was on the floor, and one of the Pacers went sliding into him like he's sliding into second base with just a full right hand into this guy's face. Must have knocked him out. If it didn't, then he must have a head made of lead, made out of rock, which he probably does. But I'm looking at this one fan. Actually, Artest glanced this guy's face, but he gets right back up again. Now here comes in another Pacer and lands this just driving right hand as he's sliding into second base on another guy's head. And people are debating this over and over, day in, day out. Sports columnists, psychologists, they have had on economics professors, they've had on a couple of sports fan yogis from the Himalayas, a couple of guys that, you know, are fruitarians and breatharians and live with their heads buried in sand, but they pull their heads out of their rear ends long enough to watch the NBA Finals, and they're all talking about just exactly what went wrong. What happened? I'll tell you what went wrong. Beer and fans. Beer and fans. Beer and fans.
You take the biggest guy with the biggest, fattest meathead in any bar, I guarantee you that's the guy that can't hold a beer. I've never seen it fail. The biggest guys in the joint are always the biggest lightweights when it comes to drinking. Without question. They're the ones that are the loudest. They're the ones that are, you know, take their shirts off. If you ever want to see a perfect example of these guys, go down to any bar in Key West on a Friday night. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my word. Key West, Florida, the tourist playground. Go down there on a Friday night. Go into any one of those joints that they got along that main drag there in Key West. You know, Sloppy Joe's or Margaritaville or someplace like that. And they're all a bunch of frat brothers are down there and are on vacation. And this is the first time they've really been loose with a kegger without mommy and daddy having the key to the liquor cabinet. And they're all big, fat meatheads from the, you know, the football team up north. And they're, yeah! Woo-hoo! And all it takes is one chick with a beer bong and the whole thing becomes quite a, you know, it's quite a party, man. It's like Woodstock without all the peace and love. Well, maybe a lot of peace, but not a lot of love. If you know what I'm saying. So these two guys that were involved in this, at least the two guys that I saw, these two civvies up here on TV, these guys are sitting there crying about how one guy says he was trying to stop it. Look at Dopey. What are you doing on the floor, man? You're not going to stop anything. You let a cop stop it. How do you like that? The guy gets one watered down beer in him and all of a sudden he's freaking Mother Teresa. This guy's out there like Gandhi trying to stop the violence. Well, you didn't stop any violence. What you did is you stopped our test's right hand with your nose. With the full front of your face. That's the, you know, these people who want to get and they want to argue this stuff until the cows come home, man. The fans are drunk and they're going to go down on the floor if you give them half of a chance. And I've seen it happen. This is the first time. Are you putting me on? Anybody remember that big triple overtime thrill-out between the Celtics and the Phoenix Suns in 76? Of course you don't. But at one point in that game, a fan came down on the floor and was beating up one of the referees. And this was back in the day when they didn't have cops ringing the arena floor, man. The people were right up on the playing surface. They were right standing right on top of the Celtic and Suns benches. This guy's out on the floor beating up a referee. And I don't know how many times we've seen this happen. And now all of a sudden, because the player goes up to the stands, we got ourselves a problem. They've been doing it in hockey for years. Nobody up in Canada gets bent out of shape. They figure once a fan throws a beer, hey, they're fair game. Go up there and kick his ass. I would, too. As a matter of fact, I think they ought to write it into the bylaws of the NBA. If you get a beer in your kisser, we back you with the full force of the legal team of the NBA. Go up and kick ass. Now I hear there's going to be lawsuits. Now, I'd really be interested to know who is going to be suing what. Is it going to be a lawsuit from a fan that was hurt by incidental, you know, in other words, they were sitting there minding their own business and they got a fist? Okay, they got a case. If one of these lightweights that came down on the floor starts to sue, I can't see the guy winning anything. In any event, I would also think these guys have criminal charges coming their way. Let me tell you how you solve the problem. You stop selling booze, period. I know it doesn't sound like fun, but I tell you what. I don't mind beer being drunk. I don't mind people having themselves a good time. If I'm at the game with one of my kids and some guy gets so juiced up, but he's beginning to act, inappropriate, or he's beginning to act extra legal or quasi illegal, or however you want to put it, or extra criminal or super special criminal, I'm going to resent that. I'll bring it to the team's attention and I'm not going to bring my kid to the game anymore. Now, if you want to turn it into an LA Raider game, one of the reasons why the Raiders don't play in LA anymore is because maybe they like it up in Oakland. We don't want these animals down here. These Raider fans out at the Coliseum, first of all, there hasn't been a dumber football fan that's ever been invented in the history of the mortal human race. Oakland Raider fans don't know what the shape of a football is. They think it's shaped like a soccer ball. They're so stupid, it defies definition. All they want to do is go out there, wear their Raider shirt, drink their beer, pump their fist in the air, and pretend like they're, Al-Qaeda for a weekend. And every time some guy tackles somebody, and then they think it's like illegal, unless it's one of their guys tackling the opposing team, then that's okay. And now on top of everything else, they are the most uncouth slobs that the world has ever known. So when the Raiders were playing down here for the, whatever it was, 12 years that Al Davis inflicted that garbage can on us, gradually the fans just deserted the place. They wanted nothing to do with that rotten organization. Now they're back up there in Oakland where they belong. Good for them.
You know, and they're still pounding the hell out of people, and Al Davis is still walking around with his leather jacket on like he's the reincarnation of James Dean. A really skinny, old, and ugly James Dean. Anyway, who are they playing this weekend? You mean it doesn't matter? They're already out of it? 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Foo Bar. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now news that he overheard in a bar with Craig Hardy. Yes, for all the latest, there's nothing like getting it from a guy who just heard it in a bar room last night. Hey, how you doing? This is Craig Hardy, and this is news I heard in a bar. In this case, I heard at Staff's Bar down the street from Muldoon's. I don't know if you know the place. Yes. Not really in Chicago proper, it's up around Wilmette, but I heard a guy last night say, this is a guy that refills a Coke machine over here at Taft's. He says, we never landed on the moon. A guy says that we never landed there, that they did it in a TV studio. That's what he said. Another guy is talking to, I don't know if you know, a friend of Buzzy's, the guy that parks cars over here at Chasen's, you know what I mean? He says, Jane Fonda, she was over in North Vietnam. And anyway, she had some POWs tortured to death in front of her, and she laughed the whole time. She thought it was pretty funny. This guy says he knows. He knew a guy that was over there, was a POW over there in Vietnam. That's what he said. He seen Jane Fonda. She laughed till she peed herself, and they tortured some POWs. She thought it was a real riot. She also, she ratted them out to the NVA. They said they had some news they wanted to send back to America. She says to the NVA, hey, you better torture these guys to death. That's what he says anyway. And this guy I know pretty good. His brother plays hockey for the Blackhawks, so probably got some good information there. Another guy I was talking to last night, you know, we were watching a Bulls game. This guy says that George Reeves, you know, the guy that played Superman, not Christopher Reeve, but George Reeves, you know, the guy that played it on TV. Apparently he took LSD one night and he jumped out of a window. He thought he could really fly. So he killed himself like that way. That's what the guy said anyway. He said he used to work on a lot out there in Hollywood, so he said he knew it. So another guy's talking to this guy over here. He's parking cars over here. And that guy, you know, the cop that works the traffic light over here, is the guy that parks cars over there. This guy tells me, you know, David Copperfield, I don't know if you've ever seen this guy that made the Statue of Liberty disappear, this kind of a deal. He says this guy, this David Copperfield, he's Al-Qaeda. Member of Al-Qaeda. You know the guys that did the 9/11 job? He says David Copperfield's one of them. Now, there's another guy I know. Talking to this guy last night, as a matter of fact, I came, I got a corned beef sandwich, I got a stein of beer. This guy says that his brother, he parked cars for this guy. You know this guy, James Gandolfini in the Sopranos TV show? You ever seen this? He says the guy's a fruit, or what do you want to call it, gay. He says this guy Gandolfini's gay, is a gay guy. I talked to another guy, same night, though, I was talking to another guy. He says Dan Rather, he's a fruit. And he told me that Tom Brokaw's a fruit, and him and Rather get together, and they, I guess they do their fruit thing together. Another guy said that Bin Laden, you know the guy Bin Laden, the guy that did 9/11, that he's Jewish, and he's ashamed, so that's why he's blowing stuff up, because he's ashamed of it. That's what I heard anyway, the guy said. Yeah, this Craig Hardy, oh, this one guy told me, by the way, I want to tell you, this guy told me last night, he works over at the Wrigley, he says John McCain's going to run for president in 2008, and he's going to win, and then he makes a clone army like in Star Wars. So McCain's going to do a whole clone deal. So that's what I heard about that. Is the music all done? So I got to go?
Yeah, you better leave now.
Okay, this is Craig Hardy. That's news that I heard in the bar. Thanks a lot, Craig.
Yeah.
Okay, coming up, a clone army, huh? That's what a guy said. I don't know if it's true or not. Yeah, it's... All right, coming up, Lloyd Bonafide will be with us to talk about a big trip he's taking to Washington, D.C. Tomorrow night it'll be Bobby Dooley, and we'll be talking with Bobby in just a moment about whatever it is she's going to be blathering about on the air with us. Don't forget our number, 1-800-449-8686, and our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Kind of a good little address to. By the way, speaking of that, because we do a mailbag on Friday, I got your mail. You're absolutely right. I was wrong. It wasn't Lou Gehrig who was a scumbag. It was Ty Cobb. I completely misnomered that whole situation. Because I was talking last night when we were discussing. What was I talking about last night? I was talking about the basketball thing. And I said, well, you know, it's not unheard of for athletes to go into the stands after fans. It's been happening since sports began. And I said Lou Gehrig, and I should have said Ty Cobb actually went up into the stands, and it is alleged beat up some guy in a wheelchair, because the guy told him he was a turd or something. He yelled, hey, Cobb, you know, your mother wears army boots. Next thing you know, Cobb's up there beating him up. I heard another story about Ty Cobb beating up a guy. He beat up a guy. Now, they're at a banquet 20 years after they've retired from baseball. 20 years. And he's talking to a guy that used to be a catcher. And the guy looks at him and he says, hey, Ty, you doing good? You remember that play at home 20 years ago when they called you out? Yeah, well, you were actually safe. Because apparently the catcher made a big argument and a big stink, and the umpire went with an out call. And when this guy told Cobb this at this banquet 20 years later, Cobb started beating him up. 20 years later, this is how mentally disturbed the guy was. Now, it could be crap. But then I heard that John McCain's raising a whole army of clones, so 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, making pot brownies.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, there's all kinds of news out there. Dan Rather leaving CBS and the violence at Auburn Hills. But the big news, as it always is, video games. And the big video game news this week, JFK Reloaded. Have you heard about the game? JFK Reloaded is a video game based upon the assassination of President Kennedy. And as you may well imagine, the knee-jerk reaction has been universal condemnation. Now, the game, as far as I can tell, is I've actually looked at scenes from the game. I haven't played it, and I haven't downloaded it, but I've seen scenes. It has the usual video game animation. And you can also see the motorcade, President Kennedy's motorcade, from the Lee Harvey Oswald perspective. Now, if what I gather from this game is true, essentially what you're doing is you are acting as Lee Harvey Oswald, and you are assassinating Kennedy. Now, here's the thing that I think is interesting about this game. The other thing you could do with this game, if you wanted to, and if the manufacturers wanted to do it, is you could take the perspective of a Secret Service agent trying to prevent it. Could it have been prevented? Could it have been prevented? But what the game is essentially saying is that Lee Harvey Oswald did act alone. And that while it was very difficult for him to do, he did do it by himself. And it invites you, the player, to try to do what Lee Harvey Oswald did. Now, I understand people immediately are going to, especially people who lived through the assassination of Kennedy, are going to say this game is really insensitive. But there's something about it that I like, and I'll tell you what it is. I think it's because it invites a whole new generation of people into a moment in history they didn't experience. And they don't even know what it is we're talking about, people our age, when we say it was a bummer of a day, right? I mean, the kids today, they know 9/11, and they know something of what it was like to have been alive on November 22nd, 1963. I was like 11 at the time. And this game communicates to that generation in the language that they speak, which is through these images, through these video gaming images. These are things that literally enable kids to experience something that ordinarily they wouldn't experience. Now, you look at Grand Theft Auto. I mean, I'm not trying to excuse anything, believe me. But I'm also trying to look at this through the eyes of somebody who was a part of a generation that people didn't get either. I mean, when I was doing what I was doing as a kid, I had a million adults telling me that I was going to burn in hell, I was going to rot forever, my liver would fall out of my ass, my hair would fall out. Well, they were right about my hair falling out. and my growth would be stunted. I would be, you know, I would turn into Charles Manson. And naturally, of course, what it first does is it makes you feel guilty as hell, like you're just not worthy of being alive because you have long hair. Because I wore long hair, I wasn't worthy. So I, you know, I'm trying to be the new hip parent here and look at what it is the kids are getting out of this game. I know my guys, my kids are not violent kids. They're good kids. I just know them. So there is to it. I'm not blind, and I'm not stupid, and I know what these kids are about. They're not violent kids, but they want to experience the world. And they can't experience the world from where they live, and I don't want them to experience some parts of the world from where they live and where they go to school. But these video games, on some level, help them get a little bit of a view toward some of these things. And I'll tell you something, if a game can get kids interested in a piece of history, man, I got no problem with that. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, yeah, but it encourages them to assassinate presidents. Oh, no, it doesn't. Any more than it encourages them to want to become Marine troopers and fly to another planet and blow up little green guys with eight legs. It allows them to experience a moment in history using the language of video gaming that they understand. So there they are as Lee Harvey Oswald. Can I actually shoot this guy? Doesn't mean they hate President Kennedy or that they want to shoot presidents. It means that from the standpoint of being a kid who's into gaming, they are taking an active part in the game, which in this case is the shooter, and they're trying to beat the game. They're trying to do what Lee Harvey Oswald is alleged to have done. The game believes the Warren Commission conclusion that Oswald acted alone. There are many people who don't, and I'm not willing to debate it. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore, man. There might have been 9 million people. For all I know, Al-Qaeda did that. It could have been the Klingons, for all I know. Or maybe freaking Captain Kirk went through a time warp and accidentally shot Kennedy. Or maybe it was a duck hunting accident. I don't know. And I don't care anymore. There was a time I cared. I don't care anymore. But the game instead says, no, we're going to go with the Warren Commission conclusion that Oswald did act alone. And now let's put the player in Oswald's position and see if they can do what he did. And what he did was incredible. Have you ever seen that scene in Full Metal Jacket? How many of you dumbasses know who Lee Harvey Oswald was? You ever seen Full Metal Jacket with the great R. Lee Ermey? One of the all-time brilliant drill instructors in movie and or real life? And he asks the question to the recruits there at boot camp, how many of you know who Lee Harvey Oswald is? And they all raise their hand. He was a Marine. Lee Harvey Oswald learned how to shoot in the Marine Corps. He was a marksman. He was a whatever the hell award you win in the Marines for being a sharpshooter. He was an outstanding marksman. And he got off whatever it was, 4 shots, 6 shots inside of 5, 6, 7 seconds, something like that. And you hear R. Lee Ermey tell it, he got off 4 shots, one of them a headshot. He said, that was outstanding shooting. He says, where did he learn his shooting? In the Marines. So can you do that? Can you do what Lee Harvey Oswald is alleged to have done, which is to get off this number of shots in a very, very small amount of time and score a headshot? And he scored 2 hits shooting Governor Connolly as well. That's the game. Now, what does that game do? If you want to take that away from kids, all right, you can take it away from them. I mean, if you want, you know, you're afraid it's going to make them violent, all right. I personally think that you ought to look at it this way. This is putting them into a moment in history that they otherwise would have absolutely no interest in. Not only that, man, it is recreating it. I mean, take a look at go to the internet, take a look at the images from the game. It's like a lot of really good video games that have pretty clear and realistic images. You are sitting there on the street. There's the motorcade. There's the Dallas PD. There's 2 or 3 Secret Service cars trailing the larger limousine. You are up in the Texas School Book Depository with Lee Harvey Oswald as he rests his Italian carbine rifle with a sight on it on top of a stack of boxes. One of the boxes is on the ledge of the window so that he can steady the rifle or the weapon on the box as the motorcade begins to round that corner that we're all familiar with and begins to pass by on the right side of Dealey Plaza. And then you get Lee Harvey Oswald's perspective looking through the crosshairs as the limousine passes just in front of a tree. So it looks like some tree branches. You then see the president get hit. You then see the Secret Service agent, who's still alive, by the way, the Secret Service agent that jumped onto the back of the limousine and pushed Jacqueline Kennedy back into the limousine. That man is still alive. He is the only Secret Service agent to have reacted that day. And his story is really interesting. I forget his name, but he says that every now and again he goes back to Dallas and he just walks Dealey Plaza and he, you know, I guess the man goes through whatever it is he goes through. You know, how could we have prevented this thing from happening? So here's a whole generation of kids that are gaming, and they never, ever would even take a moment to sort of reinvestigate this moment in history were it not for this game. And they're seeing it from every conceivable angle, looking at every conceivable scene. And actually what they're trying to find out here as a player is, could Oswald have done this? Who knows? I mean, there might be some kid playing this game and come to the conclusion, no, he couldn't have. Maybe it'll reignite a whole investigation into this again. I don't know. I really caution people. I really would like us to stop overreacting to some of these video games. You know what we got to do? This is just my opinion. You can take it for what it's worth. Let's stop looking at the video games. Let's start looking at our kids. I mean, in other words, instead of saying this game is bad, ask yourself, is your kid bad? Hey, what's your kid like? You know? Oh, this game's terrible. If you don't trust the game, I maintain you don't trust your kid. That's what I think. It isn't that you hate him, but if you think your kid's going to be affected by the game, man, forget the game. Look at the kid. What's going on with him that you have a fear that if he is exposed to something like this, he's going to want to go out and take a shot at George Bush next time he rolls through town in an open limousine? Just happens to be driving by the Texas School Book Suppository. You know? So that's a lesson from Phil, lesson number 433 on how messed up it is to be alive in the year 2004. Thank you so much. JFK Reloaded,
available now by download only from the internet.
All right, Lloyd Bonafide coming up in the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. Again, we have our mailbags on Friday. Well, we won't have a mailbag on Friday this week. Maybe we'll get to one tomorrow. But we do get occasional pieces of mail from people slapping me across the face for mistakes that I've made. I apologize for the whole Lou Gehrig thing. We also get some very nice ideas from people on a number of things. Somebody mentioned that Mavis had, or was it Clara Bingham, said that, I know what it was, that Condoleezza Rice was like Aunt Jemima, and apparently some radio host got canned for calling her Aunt Jemima, so it's another Life Imitates Phil. Things like that, but we'll see what we can do about getting some of those on the air. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Lloyd Bonafide with a trip to Washington, D.C. to find out if he can have Congress censor someone. As a matter of fact, he wants Congress to hand down an indictment for treason against this particular individual. We'll hear from Lloyd. And we'll also have Bobby Dooley coming up in the next hour to talk with us about what she's going to be blathering about on the show tomorrow night. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pull your head out of your ass, plug into the world. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Right, Lloyd, I want to just start over again because my audience is joining us. Lloyd Bonafide is a Korean War veteran. I know you're planning a trip to Washington, D.C. Now, you have some experience with Dan Rather personally?
Yes, sir. I was a member of United States Navy and was wounded in combat, and I went to the VA hospital.
You have to get closer to the phone, sir.
So I went to the VA hospital in West Los Angeles in 1968, at which time Mr. Rather was there in his capacity as a reporter, and he was doing a news story on the returning veterans from Vietnam. And there was, at that time, a young Navy nurse who I had a great deal of admiration for, as did others, by the name of Marjorie Gleason. And Mr. Rather came to the Veterans Administration Hospital and used his celebrity to, in my opinion, alienate this young woman's affections. And the reason I mention her in my affidavit is because, as a character reference to this man, Mr. Rather.
Now, Mr. Bonafide, you're married, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
And you were married at that time?
Yes, sir. You need to understand, I'm a combat veteran and a former military man. And the women who are married to men in the military and veterans are some of the most remarkable women in the world, because they understand that by the nature of who their husbands are, that it is natural for us to stray from our marital vows, and they understand this. And this is really not what I am speaking of right now. I'm talking about the fact that this man, Dan Rather, alienated this young woman's affections using his oily charm and his celebrity to profane this young woman. Now, I have no evidence of any sex of any kind, but I can remember coming to the VA, and I was being treated for headaches. I'd suffered a concussion in combat. And she was there talking to this man, Rather, and I can remember telling him at the time that I was interested in this young woman, and he had no concern. He was oily and disreputable at that time. And so,
all right, just to be clear, you had an affection for a young nurse at the VA, even though you were married at the time.
Well, Mr. Rather was married at the time as well, and this really has nothing to do with it. As I said to you, I had it.
Well, no, but you were married. You're telling me that because you were a veteran and a former member of the military, military wives are different?
Women who are married to men in the military and women who are married to veterans understand that this is something that their husbands will do, and these are remarkable women. Is that they allow for this, and my wife has often said to me, I don't care what you do when you're not around me, so long as you're not bringing a disease in here or something like that. So,
all right, so your wife was aware that you had this affection for this nurse.
I don't know if she was aware of it, but the point that I'm trying to make to you is that this man, Dan Rather, in my opinion, soiled this young woman and made her no good for any other man, even though I had a very deep and abiding affection for her.
But you have no evidence that Dan Rather had sex with her.
I don't know if he did or if he didn't, but his mere inserting himself with his celebrity status and his oily charm profaned and soiled this young woman and made her no good for any man. Now,
all right, tell me why you're flying to Washington, D.C., then I want to get our phone number out. You are going to Washington, D.C. for something very serious.
Yes, sir. I am a Korean combat veteran, and I'm traveling to Washington on December the 7th, which is the anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, to present to the Congress of the United States an affidavit that I have had witnessed and that has been duly recorded with my attorney, and a copy of which has been sent to the District Attorney of the County of Los Angeles. And in it I request that the Congress of the United States draw up articles specifying treasonous activity on the part of the television correspondent Dan Rather, and that he be charged with treasonous activity on account of the United States actively engaged in an armed struggle with an enemy. And this man, Dan Rather, benefited from his position as a public personality and would undermine this country.
Now, as I understand it, you want Dan Rather charged with treason because he actively promoted forged documents that were incorrect by the president.
That is, yes, sir, that is correct. He promoted knowingly forged documentation about the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, which, in my opinion, is treasonous. And I swore a blood oath when I saw him in the VA hospital. I said, this man has soiled a young woman that I loved.
All right, I understand, sir. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, who will be traveling to Washington, D.C. in December. He wants Dan Rather charged with treason because he, in Mr. Bonafide's opinion, actively promoted forged documents as being truthful about the commander-in-chief, who was at that time and still is engaged in leading our armed forces in war. But you, this sounds personal to me, I have to tell you. Because
in what way, sir?
Well, because you bring up this girl, Marjorie Gleason, who you and Mr. Rather apparently had a common interest in. And it sounds to me like Mr. Rather gained her attention. Is that correct?
Let me tell you something. Dan Rather is an oily... he's a man who uses his celebrity to oil his way into situations... And I had a great interest in this young lady, and he came in, and I said then, well, if I ever get a chance, I'm going to nail him to a wall the way they nailed Jesus to the cross. And I'll tell you something else, Mr. Henry. You talk about me being buried. Well, Dan Rather was buried, too.
And yet you guys were going after this girl. But you're forgiving your activity because you say you're a veteran. Because you say, as a combat veteran, the wives of military guys and combat guys don't mind it?
No, the military wife is one of the greatest women that has ever been, that God ever did anything with. They understand that their men, because they live with death each and every day, they have a need to stray for the marital vows. And as I said, the average military wife, the only thing she worries about, she'll say to you, make sure you don't bring any of the infections and this kind of a thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd Bonafide wants Dan Rather charged with treason. All right, now, you know that this isn't going to happen.
Well, like the man said, never say never.
But I mean, every day Congress is presented with affidavits. With affidavits asking for millions of things, and the idea that they would bring articles of, that they would charge Dan Rather with treason is very, very remote. Now, you've been married 45 years, and when you knew this lady, Ms. Gleason, you were married, and...
Yeah, that is true, and I'll tell you something else, Mr. Henry. I'm aware of the fact that Congress may not act, but this is fulfilling a vow that I made. When Marjorie Gleason, a beautiful young nurse at the Veterans Administration, and I was this close to her and me, having a deal, having something develop, and along comes Dan Rather with his oily charm and his celebrity status. And I can tell you, it will fulfill a vow I made to nail him to a wall the same way he made me suffer when he soiled that young woman and made her no good for any man.
You know, I have a great deal of respect, sir, for your age and for your experience.
Thank you.
There was a time, I suppose, when the sensibility a woman could be made no good for any other man, that might have been, the case then.
Well, I understand that times have changed, Mr. Henry, but back then, a woman's honor was something very special. And Dan Rather came along with his oily charm and soiled that young woman.
But you don't know whether she had been involved with other men.
Watch the way you talk about a young lady. I have no idea. I don't want to think of her as being anything other than very pure, and she was good to all the boys that come in there. And
Okay. Let's say she was a virgin. Let's say she was a young maid. Let's say that she'd... you still don't have any evidence that Dan Rather had sex with her.
No, sir, I do not. But let me tell you what. I could see the look in his eye, and he's got the look on his face. It's crazier than a crap house rat, like we used to say. And you look in that guy's eye, I can tell you the way he looks through his face, he's nuttier than a crap house rat. And I used to, as well, what we used to say in the Navy. And he's looking at her, licking his chops. And so I made a solemn blood oath then. I would get him and I would nail him up the way they did our Lord and Savior. And I can tell you, when I travel to Washington, D.C., and I get off that plane and go to the Congress of these United States, I will fulfill the blood oath.
Well, all you can do, sir, is present this to the Congress. As I said to you, the Congress of the United States has a number of petitions presented to them every day, and there is a very, very remote possibility that Dan Rather is ever going to be charged with treason. And I would ask you to consider that this charge of treason that you want to level against Dan Rather is really personally motivated.
No, sir, it is not. Yes, I will.
Well, I mean, you keep bringing up this Marjorie Gleason, this nurse that you were in love with.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, let me tell you what. Okay, yes, you're right. But I waited until I had evidence that this lousy, well, there aren't words to describe this guy. I waited till I had evidence that this piece of garbage.
Let's watch the way we talk about the guy. We haven't proven anything yet, okay?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I waited till I got evidence, and I've got it. He's a treasonous, and pardon my French, he's a treasonous piece of human excrement,
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the voice of Lloyd Bonafide there on the phone. He is a Korean War veteran who has an interesting story to tell. He was sweet on a young nurse at the VA hospital back in the 60s that he said was stolen away from him, or her attention or interest was distracted by Dan Rather, who was there doing a report on the VA. And since then, he's had a personal axe to grind with Dan Rather. Now he's going to Washington in early December to try to get Congress to charge Dan Rather with treason based upon the fact that Rather promoted knowingly forged documents about the commander-in-chief during a time of war. Now, one little extra addition to this whole story, throughout all of this episode with this nurse, Mr. Bonafide was married, as he still is. And when I asked him, how do you justify an interest in another woman outside of the bounds of your marriage, he said, as a military man, our wives understand that we're different kind of men. We need to sometimes stray beyond the bounds of marriage, and that's what makes military wives so special. 1-800-449-8686, and I don't know whether that's true or not. Lloyd Bonafide will be back to tell us more about his attempt to have Dan Rather charged with treason on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Speaking with Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran who is traveling to Washington in early December to have the Congress of the United States draw up an article of charging Dan Rather, the television newsman, with treason for forging documents and promoting these documents about the commander-in-chief at a time of war. Before we get to some phone calls, Mr. Bonafide, the question I have for you is, I understand you have a personal problem with Mr. Rather based upon this relationship you had with a VA nurse that you say he alienated her affections from you. What would you say to anyone who says to you this is personal?
I would say this. I didn't do anything. I swallowed my pride and I let that with his oily charm, I let him, you know, steal that girl away from me. But as soon as I saw on the television program here 6 months ago about these National Guard documents being forged, and that this same son of a you-know-what, Dan Rather, was promoting them, I said to my wife, now I've got the dirty SOB. Now I got him by the, if you'll pardon my French, I've got him by the short and curlies. And I said at that time that I would...
All right, okay, I understand that you had foundation.
Yeah, I had foundation for my charges.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Rose, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Lloyd Bonafide. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Rose, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. You know, this man, he thinks he has problems. He should have thought about that 45 years ago. And you know, it takes a woman also to get into trouble. If she was a woman, she wouldn't be doing what she was doing.
She was a sweet young girl that Dan rather soiled. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Why I wanted to take her and treat her properly. But in my opinion, Mr. Rather ruined her for any other man.
But
no,
you don't.
I don't think so.
You don't know that he. You don't know
I'll
that he did
tell
that.
Tell you what.
Well, I. He was oily then, and he's oily now.
You're trying to cause trouble after the horse is out of the barn. You locked the barn. That's you.
Oh, that's a lot of gobbledygook.
You don't have troubles at all, mister. Not like I have troubles right now with a great-grandson, 4 years old, that's been sexually molested by his father. And the
that's nothing compared to what I've been through. I had this woman...
What do you mean that's nothing compared to what you've been through? This lady just told you something horrifying.
The little boy, what happened to him?
He'd been sexually molested by his father.
Well, I don't know anything about that. I'm telling you that young VA nurse was ruined for life, and now I'm going to have Dan Rather hung up by the short and curlies.
Aren't you hearing what this lady is saying about a little boy being sexually molested?
4 years old, and also by the friend of his father. And who do they have in jail? My granddaughter. And
well, at least they've got someone in jail. Well, at least they've got someone in jail.
That's my granddaughter, but she didn't rape the kid. She took care of that kid with no support.
You
nothing.
Did? You, who did?
Who put him in jail?
Who?
A judge in Kentucky.
Who are you?
Pardon?
Wait a minute. Don't tell him your name, Rose.
Your name is Rose.
My name.
No, but don't give him your last name.
No, but you say that your granddaughter sexually molested you?
No, she didn't.
My...
Did you hear it?
I'm telling you about it. I got problems of my own.
Well, you don't have big problems at all. You're just trying to get even with someone.
When Dan Rather, when they get him for treason, then you'll know.
Wait a minute. Aren't you hearing, Rose, this is Phil Hendry. That's a horrible story you're telling. Horrible. It's unbelievable.
Yes. Very unbelievable.
Very sorry. We can only hope that that little boy gets immediate help, professional help.
Are you talking to me?
Who the,
no, I'm not. Yeah?
You know who the judge gave the kid to?
Who's that?
Gave it to the molester. That's who has the little boy right now.
Are you calling me a molester?
No one's talking to you
I'm
right now.
I'm not talking to you, sir.
Well, you said that I was a molester. I've never touched anyone.
No, I'm not talking about you
All right. Rose, thank you, and I certainly... we hope that the authorities will intervene and correct this problem as quickly as possible.
Are we going to get back to me? Or-
will you hold on, please? Thank you, Rose. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide and his story about Dan Rather being a traitor. And, oh, yeah, he stole one of Lloyd's girlfriends. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, Lloyd Bonafide joins me on the Phil Hendry Show for our final segment, a Korean War veteran who wants Dan Rather charged with treason. I want to get back into this treason charge. Dan Rather, who had documents that he said were suspect, that he should have been more careful with. He seemed like he was taken in every bit as much as the rest of us.
Oh, you know, let me tell you something, Mr. Hendry. Yeah, he was taken in, sure. That's the first thing any guy that's guilty of a crime says, I got, you know, I got greased up just like everyone else. So let me tell you something. Dan Rather is a lying, no-good, egg-sucking chicken stealer. And that guy is guilty of treason because I think he purposefully floated these documents because he's a sack of you-know-what. And let me tell you something else. He filthied up a beautiful young girl named Marjorie Gleason. And he's a traitor?
Well, you don't know that he did anything with that girl, and that's the point that I'm trying to make here. 1-800-449-8686. Susanna, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, Mr. Bonafide, I have a question
ma'am.
For you.
Yes, ma'am.
You are talking about Mr. Rathers soiling this woman.
He soiled her as sure as God made green apples.
But do you not feel like you are soiling her right now?
How am I doing that? I'm defending her honor.
How are you defending her honor in the way that she was having an affair with two married men, supposedly?
Well, now, let me jump in here. She wasn't having... Were you involved with her, Mr. Bonafide?
No, I was not. That's the whole point I'm trying to get to.
Okay, well,
I was that close.
If you were not having... Okay, if you were not with her, do you think that she would appreciate her name if but right now? And not only are you disrespecting her... But you've been married for 47 years, and you're disrespecting your wife?
I most certainly am not disrespecting my wife, ma'am. My wife, how do you figure that? She's a military wife, one of the best that's ever been.
I'm sorry, military wife, no military wife. A woman that's married to any man takes an oath. She does not care, I mean...
My wife said to me...
No, excuse me, sir.
Don't bring any of the infections in here. That's all she's ever said.
But, sir, you took an oath, I mean, you took a marriage vow to be loyal and faithful. Any woman that's married, would it have been okay for her to cheat on you?
I don't understand.
She did not have any needs herself being at home away from you?
I don't get where you're going with this.
She's saying, if you are allowed to stray, what about her?
Well, she's not a combat veteran, is she?
What's that got to do with it?
I went over to Korea. I got shot at, got a concussion from a Chinese grenade, and I got all kinds of problems. And military wives understand that. That's why all they say is use a condom and get home before 2.
Excuse me, sir.
Come on, man.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I think that's the biggest BS I've ever heard.
Well, you may think it's BS, but this is not about my wife. It's about a sweet
girl
named
Marjorie. Very much about your wife.
And this guy Dan Rather oiled her up.
What do you mean, Rather oiled her up?
I'm saying he filthied her and made her no good for any decent man.
If anybody that's oiling this poor woman up, it's you.
I have.
She's probably married with a nice man.
That's the point,
Somewhere down the line, and I'm sure she does not appreciate her grandkids hearing her name. And being called soiled up.
If you knew Marjorie Gleason, I doubt seriously if she's married. But
well, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, why she was? Well, how do you know?
Say that she looked like the kind of girl that could get around.
Well, wait a minute. On the one hand, Dan Rather oiled or greased her up or whatever you said. On the other hand,
I said Rather soiled her.
All right, he soiled her. On the other hand, she looks like she gets around.
Look, I don't know. All I want to say is Dan Rather is guilty of treason and should be shot.
I'm sorry, sir. If this was something that he was guilty of,
right.
Why didn't you do this years ago?
Right, Susanna, thank you for your call.
All right, thank you for your call.
1-800-449-8686.
I believe I answered that question already, Mr. Henry, and I resent having to answer it again.
She asked the question. Maybe we can get to it. Here is Patty. Patty, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, I have respect for you if you've served our country.
Thank you.
But that's where it ends, buddy. Military wives do not condone that kind of behavior, nor do they support it. You have soiled your own wife. You have soiled your own reputation by just talking the way you have. And furthermore, I take great offense to the way you are referencing God, his crucifixion.
What are you talking about? I believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Great. Then I have something for you because you're using it loosely. And you need to open your Bible.
I'm just saying that I'd like to nail Rather up the same way they did, Jesus.
Right. And then I say you're not a man of God because that's not the way a man of God acts.
Jesus?
Furthermore,
I'm a military man.
You're a military man that shouldn't serve because you lack dignity and integrity. And if you can't provide integrity and dignity to your own wife, you certainly can't provide it to anybody else.
Dignity
or go
and integrity,
represent anybody
when you've
else.
Got a Chinaman shoving a carbine in your face in 1951 in the cold of the Chosin Reservoir, dignity is not going to get you anywhere. It's
right.
You against
so your
him,
wife,
baby. And
so
I
your wife
you,
should pay the price.
I won.
And you need to go open your Bible and read what God says about how to treat fellow mankind.
Oh, that's
not
a lot of
way.
When you got a Chinaman breathing
open
down your neck.
Oh, come on. Look
open
at the...
it up and read it because you got problems, buddy, and you need to square them away before
you
die.
Hey, Patty, listen to this. You know, Jesus walks into the inn, hands the innkeeper three nails, and says, can you put me up for the night? Do you ever hear that one?
Well, I heard
oh,
a lot
man.
Of the stuff you... I heard a lot of the stuff you're saying,
that's
and you're
the
very
oldest,
off base.
Yeah, that's the oldest
and
joke in the world. The oldest.
Old?
Yeah, it's old.
You need to go check yourself into a Bible study because you're using God's name loosely.
Ma'am, all I want to do is have Dan Rather behind bars. That's all I want before I die.
Right.
Well, you know what?
You
ain't going to get him behind bars with this flimsy stuff you got. It ain't going to happen.
Why not?
Oh, so the guy floated some forged documents. That's not treason. It may be bad reporting. It might even be fraudulent reporting. It's not treason. And the Congress...
If you don't have the integrity to stand behind your wife and treat her the way she's supposed to...
Oh, you're still on about my wife. My wife
you're
doesn't
not gonna
care.
Get any. You're
she
not going to get anywhere
me,
in Congress.
Look at all. Just don't bring in the diseases, and everything's copacetic. Savvy?
I think you're lying.
Yeah, I don't think your wife said that to you.
And I don't
oh.
think that's what I don't
so
think
the
that's what
were,
the Lord. I don't think that's what the Lord, your Savior, would tell you to
so
do.
So wait a minute. The two of you are calling me a liar. Is that it?
Yes, that's right.
Pretty much.
Well, now I've heard it all. Now I've heard it all. A decorated combat Korean called a lion sack of garbage.
Good luck in Congress, and
but, you
open
know,
your Bible and find out what God tells you to do with
hey,
that situation.
God and me, we got an understanding. You savvy?
Okay.
Nope.
You don't savvy.
All right.
Good luck.
Savvy?
Get out of here with savvy.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. Dan Rather soiled and muddied up. A beautiful young...
Will you stop with this, man, and let's get on the point here about Dan Rather?
Hello?
Kathy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question. You know, you're all upset about Dan Rather soiling this woman.
Absolutely. He
Are
oiled
you sure?
her up.
Wait a minute. Let me say this. Are you sure you're just not jealous because he got her and you didn't?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, it seems like you've got a long time to sit around and brood over somebody you didn't get to nail.
So
and
it's about nailing
this
somebody,
man did.
Huh? Wait a second.
You're just jealous. He got her and you didn't.
Are
and
you
your
some
poor
kind of a,
wife.
So you're some kind of a Dan Rather fan, is
no,
that
No, I
it?
Don't. I could care less about the man. But I'm married, and you're married, and Dan Rather's married.
Are you
and
really?
Even if he was there to talk to her, your problem is he got her and you didn't.
What about that, Lloyd?
And your poor little man.
Let me tell you, the only reason why he got her is because of his oily charm and his celebrity
you're
status.
Oily charm. You're jealous. And you have no proof whatsoever that he nailed her.
No, I don't. You're right about that.
And you're telling that this woman is soiled and you have no proof.
You keep saying soiled, but you say you got no proof that Dan Rather...
Just his mere proximity to her oiled her for life.
What do you mean oiled her?
You wanted to oil her, Jack.
You know, you got
to... I pity your poor wife.
You have a very filthy mind.
No, you're the one that's filthy. You just didn't get to do it.
You know, Kathy, I bet you sit in front of that TV screen every night, Dan comes on, and you just get all excited, all beside yourself.
No, not quite, pal. I don't even sit and watch TV. I have other things to do. I just happened to turn the radio on and heard this grown man whining over the fact that he didn't get this girl.
I think Kathy's right.
He probably could have cared less about you in the first place.
Wait a second. I brought her flowers and chocolate.
So what? Maybe you should have thought about sitting down, writing your wife a letter, and telling her how much you loved her and missed her. Instead of worrying about whether you were going to get to soil some nurse.
We went to Wisconsin Dental last year.
So what?
So everything... I took my wife to Las Vegas.
So what? She's probably hanging in there for the money, pal. You're probably over the hill and useless anyway. And you're wimping and whining because you didn't get some nurse that probably didn't care about you in the first place.
You know, Kathy, if I didn't have arthritis in both hips, I'd kick you around the block
well,
for what you just said.
Meet me anywhere you want, pal. That's well, why you're griping. See, he got arthritis in both hips. You're useless.
You know, Mr. Hendry, you and Kathy, you'll see. Then you'll have respect for me when I put Dan Rather
no
in a federal prison.
Pal or anybody else going to have respect for you? You're a sick duck.
And that man, Marjorie Gleason, was soiled by Dan Rather.
You do not know that.
Man.
You got proof of it?
I brought her chocolates and candies.
Big deal. You should have been sending chocolates and candy home to your wife. And don't tell me that servicemen got all the okay to have affairs while they're out there. Because there's a lot of men in the service that aren't screwing around.
Well, there's a lot of guys.
But why weren't you one of them? All you're doing is crying over the fact you didn't get this nurse.
It's understood that all wives say, whether you cheat or not,
I've been married for 38 years, and I never said to my husband, go screw around, but don't bring me back some
Wait a second. Is he a war veteran? No.
It doesn't make a difference.
I'm a vet. That makes me a deadly weapon.
It doesn't make a difference whether you're a war veteran or not. Doesn't give you the right to screw around.
You're messing with a war veteran. I'll slap the ugly right off your face.
Well, come on. Meet me anytime,
please. All right, okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Bonafide. I think you've baited our listeners long enough.
We'll see Dad Rather behind bars.
Yeah, he's gone. thank
Sorry
you, Kathy.
That, but
no,
he irritated me.
No, he's nuts. Thank you very much for your call.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. You'll see Dan Rather behind bars. What an overdramatic clown. All right.
I'll slap the ugly off your face, too. And there's a hell of a lot of it there. It may be an all-day job.
What is this guy? Is he auditioning to do commercials? It may be an all-day job. Lloyd Bonafide, Korean War veteran, wants Dan Rather because he soiled some nurse to be put up on charges of treason. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up tomorrow, Bobby Dooley. And we'll be talking with Bobby about what's on the agenda. And we'll also have 6 solid hours of Bobby from Thursday until Friday. Both of our shows will be the Bobby Dooley Marathon and the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Email address for The Phil Hendry Show is phs@philhendryshow.com. If you want to email Mr. Bonafide, you can. LloydBonafide@philhendryshow.com. We'll see that he gets his mail. And the guy, remember I was talking about that JFK Reloaded game last hour? The Secret Service agent that jumps on the back of the limousine is a guy by the name, or was a man by the name of Clint Hill. Clint Hill was his name. And he was riding, actually, on the left. He was standing on the left running board of the follow-up car, which I think was the vice presidential automobile, when he said he heard a shot, and he said he saw the president slump, and that's when he ran, because the first lady had crawled out onto the back of the limousine. And he said he jumped onto the left rear step of the presidential automobile, and he heard Mrs. Kennedy say they've shot his head off. Then he turned and he raised out of her seat as if he says she turned and raised out of her seat as if she was reaching to her right rear toward the back of the car for something that had blown out. I forced her back into her seat and I placed my body above the president and Mrs. Kennedy. That guy's name was Clint Hill. A lot of people don't know who that guy was, you know. But he was the guy that you may see in all of the famous pictures where he's crawling up to the back of the limousine. And some people wrongly say he was the only Secret Service agent that reacted that day, which is not really true. The vice presidential limousine was behind the presidential limousine, and there was a Secret Service agent back there who immediately jumped on top of Vice President Johnson. So there were guys acting. It's just they were stunned. And so when you look at this game, this JFK Reloaded, looking at some of the still images, they recreate the motorcade pretty precise in terms of where the cops were looking when the first shot rings out and Kennedy goes for his throat. One of the motorcycle cops is looking over his right shoulder up above as if to look up into the buildings. And I don't know, you know, say what you want to say about the game, but it seems like it's one way of getting kids interested in history, for God's sake, which is who's interested in that? It's a hell of a story. And it's a true story, but nobody seems to want to involve themselves in it because I guess it just hasn't been presented in a sexy way. Hell, anything that gets kids interested in it, man, I'm all for it. Next thing, if they come out with one about killing Lincoln, I'll play that game too. How'd Booth do that one? Plus, that game's even more interesting because he shoots Lincoln, then he's got to jump over the thing and break his leg and get on a horse and ride out of town, and then he gets gunned down in a barn by a guy who castrated himself. It's fantastic. Then they'll come out with one about Garfield, McKinley. Hell, and then what's next? By the way, that Alexander the Great, I hear that thing stinks. Oh, God, it's got the worst reviews. And you want to know why? Because Oliver Stone can't leave history alone. He's got to inject his own little point of view. Can't you tell the record? Can't you just describe the record, Stone? What is it with you, man? You got to take history and you got to manipulate everything according to you. Look, I know you were in Vietnam. Good for you. And I realize that you have certain suspicions, and there are a lot of guys who want to give you a whole bunch of money to make your... You know, that Nixon was great. I like that movie because Anthony Hopkins was cool. I like that Born on the 4th of July, Platoon. What was the other one he did? Did he do that Midnight Express? Did he do that? About the guy that gets busted with hash, that American hippie that goes to... Oh, it was a true story of a guy that gets busted in Morocco or Turkey and has to spend, like, you know, years in prison because he had an ounce of hash on him. And he busts out. And I think Stone wrote the screenplay for that one. I like those movies. All the other ones you made stink. Natural Born Killers, huh? What's another goofy movie that Stone made? Oliver Stone's goofball movies. Man, we could have an Oliver Stone film festival. We'll start out with the good ones, and then we'll wrap up around midnight with the real screwball stuff. What was that screwy thing he did? You know, JFK sucked, too, if you want to get right down to it. Kevin Costner, will you get out of here with those accents? Just play the guy that you are, some surf bum from Ventura County. Every time that guy tries to put on a southern accent or a Massachusetts accent, you know, Maria and I went to see that 13 Days. Thank God the theater had sound problems. Otherwise, I might have forced myself to watch the thing just because I don't want to be out $8. What? The show's over?
Yeah, it's over, thank God.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you're talking about Kennedy assassinations and everything. Creeps me out.
Bobby Dooley's Thanksgiving Marathon and the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 711. You can order it on our website or call 877-616-7445. You're listening to and forevermore will be the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, as I was saying, Bud, when Kennedy was assassinated...
Oh, my God.
It was in 1963.